Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is here. Rob Setters, our fabulous producer. Matt Cotrillo is over in the newsroom. Matt says, traffic-wise, we're doing okay here. Apparently a lot of infractors out there in various communities, but other than that, most roads are doing okay. We do have a slow going on Duke Street in Northumberland, about a 10-minute delay for motorists there. So we'll keep you posted about that. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can be six. We do have an invited guest on the line to get us started this morning, Mark Gittins. He's pastor of the Higher Hope Ministry Church. Their offices are in Sunbury, but they worship over at the Susquehanna Valley Mall, and he's with us today. Thank you so much for calling in, Mark. Very good to hear from you in general, but tough that we have to talk about this topic. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Mark. Thank you for having me on this morning.
All right. Well, that topic would be the sad death of Arabella Parker and the fact that child abuse still occurs around here, that maybe there's more we can do in Harrisburg, maybe there's more we can do just as neighbors, as people. And how did you get involved in this case of Arabella Parker? We followed you. We've spoken to you a number of times. How did you first become involved in this particular case?
Well, first, as a community pastor, and that just really means that I'm here and our church is here to serve our community. Family, some friends of the family members, actually multiple, kind of referred them and, called me up and tracked me down to see if I could show some support to the family. And that was just, that's what we do. So we're here to serve. So we kind of showed up and kind of get to know the situation and everything. We've been following it since the beginning in October, just praying and, really trying to see what was going to happen. So to then be brought into the forefront of it and being involved to be there and help along, it really became a responsibility for us. And it also helped us then kind of let the people know who support us, how they could help and how they could be praying even a little bit more specific. So, that's why I'm really glad to be on the radio this morning, because, we don't want this reality to go away and fade for people to go to the next news item. We really want to make some real changes and really do something, put some action behind our emotions. Candle vigils are wonderful. Prayers are amazing. But action that follows, the Bible says faith without works is dead. So we really are taking responsibility for this and other incidents that have happened in our community over the years that we've just seemed to kind of move on past and not really address. As I was sitting here today, I was thinking about baby Mary, thinking about Marley, the 4-year-old, Corbin, the 9-year-old, even a couple of years ago, a 1-year-old that didn't pass away but still suffers from severe, physical trauma now because of the abuse that was suffered. So, when I say not on my watch, it's just really a call to being responsible for the children of our community here, so that's part of why I'm just really blessed to be on this morning.
Well, Mark, you mentioned all of those names, and they were all very sad cases. Is there any common thread in there, any common failure that you can look at and say this needs to be corrected?
Well, the majority of those situations had children and youth involved, had legal things happening. Part of what's been happening wonderful in Pennsylvania over the last few years, probably the last 10, has just been this drive to try to reunite families together, and I'm all for that. And because of that, there's also great risk, and part of that has been the reality of what we've seen here, seeing that the majority of all abuse against children happen from the parents in Pennsylvania. Mothers are actually the number one abusers of children statistically in Pennsylvania in a report from 2016. And, and fathers are the second. So, you know, strangers and stuff like that are way far down on the list of abuse. But I think some of those things are what we're seeing in the patterns and, you know, seeking to drive towards reunification and all those things. Kind of, you know, if we're not really doing our homework and really, being vigilant with supervision and all those things that need to happen, which I'm hearing major caseloads are just overwhelming caseworkers nowadays. I'm hearing that reality. But to me, you know, then we need to cut budgets somewhere else and make it a reality that it's not caseloads that are overwhelming that can't be done within time periods.
Well, there was a story this week about a lawsuit that was dismissed, I think, in court in Williamsport, about a family that said children and youth were intrusive and overstepped their bounds in dealing with their family. This is kind of a tightrope, isn't it, Pastor, between trying to protect the children and trying to protect the rights of the parents?
It is. And I've dealt with families who have been falsely accused before. I've dealt with that, you know, and seen the way they feel, you know, the fear, the intrusiveness into their lives and everything. But, you know, the thing is finding that balance. And that's why I think that it takes a real investigative reality, first of all, when there's false claims. I hope there's a real follow-up on what made that person give those claims and you know, kind of hold people responsible that are just trying to be annoying or don't like someone. You know, we have that in our community also. But I think that there is this, you know, what risk do we want to take? Do we want to bury another 3-year-old? Do we want to bury another 9-year-old? You know, also, a lot of the times I'm finding family members are the biggest witnesses and are actually the ones often giving the referrals and, you know, really finding out, you know, if your own family, someone's own family members have concerns and stuff, that I think there should be some special attention given to those realities. A neighbor may not know as much going on, where family members may be very much more aware of what's happening behind the scenes, though.
Do we still have abuse that's going unreported? Neighbors or family members, as you mentioned, just aren't calling?
Yeah, I think that's part of what we're really trying to do. We're trying to really, you know, really advocate for a real education of everyone, because there's a disconnect between the law and the laws and the people and the system and the children, and really the disconnect is really us. We really are the missing key, and people are just frankly too busy to care or to notice. And it's not that they wouldn't report what they see, but they're often not looking. They're not intentionally seeing. For instance, just a couple of weeks ago, we always have people that call our church office for help when they're in crisis. A mother called. She's in crisis. She's at risk of being homeless. You know, she's living somewhere. She has to pay weekly, you know, rent, she needs help. So, you know, we talk her through, we kind of do an investigation and call referrals and stuff like that and references. And so, you know, and she was telling me she has these 3 kids. Well, my thing is, okay, we may be able to help you out, but I want to see you and the 3 kids, because I realize that if I just hear this situation and I don't, like, someone checks in on these 3 kids that are, you know, she told me that they're in, they're being homeschooled by her so that they don't have to be switched around since she may be homeless. So, you know, all those indicators put that little, I gotta make sure that these kids are, and they're little, you know, kind of take a look at them and make sure that they're okay and see them with my own eyes and talk to them directly.
Mark, Mark, are there predictors for child abuse? I mean, things that you've seen as a pastor that you would look for automatically, or a situation that you would automatically say, this may be a problem, something we can all look at and try to identify and maybe report?
Well, I think, of course, now when we see child abuse, the whole thing is right now we're kind of focusing on physical child abuse. We realize that, you know, sexual child abuse and all those things, that's such a broad variety. When it comes to physical, I often, you know, I'm looking for maybe a mother who, a single mom who has been abused, mental health situations, father with mental health, those that have violence against others in the community, struggle with drug addiction. Those things may be a reality, but unfortunately, it's kind of like lining up a whole bunch of people and say, pick out which one's the child abuser. And you know, and you pick the one who's dressed down instead of the one with the suit and tie, and you may be exactly wrong. So it really is just about being vigilant and looking for just simple keys, you know, looking for listening to tone, seeing attitudes, you know, and once again, talking to kids. Now, the biggest people who report child abuse usually is, you know, the top is county workers, then it's police, and I think actually, no, it's teachers, then police. The issue often is, and where my real focus is the kids who are not in school, who are not being seen by other students or teachers, who are under the age of five, who cannot articulate what they're seeing or hearing. And those are a little bit, you know, that may take a cashier at a grocery store to look at. That may take a mail carrier. That may take, you know, that's the neighbor that's on the other side of the fence that should say good morning and maybe start a conversation because there's a child there in the home next door. You know, those are the things that we're really kind of advocating that we could do without spending lots of money either, you know, being more vigilant as a community, realizing that even though there's this special term now, mandate reporters, which, you know, they have 48 hours to report, I believe that every single person bears the responsibility of protecting our kids. So technically and morally, we are all really mandate reporters because, you know, that's the reality.
Mark, last question. What about violence between a husband and a wife, just domestic violence? Does it always reach down to the children, or is it possible for that to exist without the children being harmed other than emotionally?
Well, a lot of times the same thing that creates domestic violence will be violence against everyone. Very seldom we have someone who just has one focused violence toward a certain group or person. It usually is across their life. So, you know... That's definitely a major indicator, you know. And what do you hear? Someone, I would never hurt my, you know. You always hear those things, but the truth is that anger puts you out of your mind, and you know, there's all sorts of things happening. And so, you know, you're susceptible, definitely, to hurting anybody, including a child.
All right, we'll give you a closing comment. Anything else to add this morning? We really thank you for all the information.
Well, I want to tell you, like, we've gotten hundreds and hundreds of emails and phone calls from support, people who want to be involved, people that want to do things, motorcycle clubs and everything. But I just want to give these just really important. If you suspect any kind of a child abuse, keepkidssafe.pa.gov is the email, the address, the website, and 1-800-932-0313 is the phone number that I have to put out there. And for women that are suffering abuse and that have any kind of reality, Transitions of PA is an excellent organization that helps. And if you're not being abused, look at supporting some of these organizations that really make a difference in our community. Drug addiction and child abuse are what is destroying the family unit in our area, and a broken family or a fragmented family will cause us to be in a society that will not thrive. So I really want to, I want to tell people our eyes have to be open. Churches, mosques, temples, we need to become certified safe places for people and children that are being abused, or women to be able to come seek refuge. We've had 47 children last year in Pennsylvania die because of abuse from people who should love and protect them. The average is 30 kids die a year in Pennsylvania from child abuse.
Okay.
One is unacceptable. So let's do something about it.
So we got a long way to go. All right, Mark, do keep in touch. You got an open mic to talk about your action items in the future and how the whole community can mobilize to help work on this issue and sort of make your Not On My Watch come to life.
And thank you for your efforts and the things you've said. I think you've been very eloquent in defense of this situation, trying to correct it. You deserve a lot of credit for that, Mark.
Thank you, guys, for what you do.
All right, we'll talk again. Mark Gittins, pastor, Higher Hope Church, based in Sunbury. I believe they're on Chestnut Street is where their office is, but you can find them on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at the former J.C. Penney's store at the Susquehanna Valley Mall. h2church.com is their website. You are listening to On the Mark, WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. We will take more reaction to what we have just talked about, and maybe you have an observation or something you'd like to say about this. This is the case of Arabella Parker, the young child tragically died recently because of significant and severe assault. So, boy, the whole community just shocked by this whole situation. So if you have observations about that, feel free to give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565 is our open phone. You can call us now. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. 10 minutes left in our open phones segment. We can talk about anything you wish. One of the rare occasions we come in, there is no emails or texts or calls pending. So,
I think it's a difficult thing to move beyond the topic we've just been on. The poor little girl, yes, and what she must have endured, and how many people, how many systems, how many people failed her, how many systems and how many people fail kids all the time in this country. And yet, if you become too aggressive, you run the risk of harming the family in another direction. And, you know, I think, as Mark put it, some people try to be annoying and they report other folks for no good reason. I don't see a really good solution to this except, as he suggested, if you see something, if you have a suspicion, take the time to report it. Hopefully the people who are doing the investigating will do it in a careful and thoughtful way, so that they don't destroy the family by, you know, jumping into the middle and accusing people of something before they know it. But on the other hand, protecting the children. I don't envy the human services workers their jobs in this regard at all.
No, and it's hard work. The pay's not ideal. Long hours. And you'd go into these homes.
Well, and as Mark pointed out, heavy caseloads, too.
Right. And it is a no-win situation where you have somebody that may have been accused or a suspicion. You don't know. You try to interview kids. You know, kids sometimes give you reliable information, sometimes not. You have neighbors or other people, whoever did, you know, might have made a report to be annoying, may or may not have a wide berth. You want, you know, the Northumberland County, of all places, has a very strong family keepers program where they try to keep families together if they can. They do, and on many occasions, have removed children from a home and placed them in foster care for the safety of the kids, and that does happen. It can happen. It will happen again. But it's very difficult decisions. And, I don't envy them either. I'm one of the individuals, just by way of full disclosure, I'm on a citizens advisory board that belongs to Northumberland County Children and Youth Services. And I'm just forever struck at how difficult the job is. You know, how do you monitor? How do you give parents freedom to nurture and to raise up kids while at the same time restrict parents who are potentially abusive, or keep a family together wherever possible? Whenever you pull a child out of a house, that child gets into a situation where thriving is very difficult. And you certainly know there are exceptional leaders around here who say, well, I was a child in foster care, or I was, you know, back in the day, you'd hear one of our fabulous leaders in this country would say, well, I was in an orphanage back in the time. But those are the exceptions. It's difficult for a child that gets into the system to thrive.
Well, and I think parents are a big concern, because many times, if you look at these cases, the parents are younger. There's a history of drug abuse or alcohol in the family that just exacerbates, right? Thank you. Having a little trouble with our words here this morning.
Hey, other than the talking part, the show went fine.
Right, but seriously, that's, you know, that's a consideration. You know, at what point can you intervene if someone has a drinking problem or someone has a drug problem and there's a child involved? Should that automatically trigger extra scrutiny? You know, if someone goes to court on a drug charge, should children and youth be immediately involved to find out whether or not, even if there's another parent that can take care of the child or other family members, should they get involved at that point, since it seems to be a precursor to determine whether or not the children are at risk?
1-800-795-9565. We're talking about the Arabella Parker death and the case and the investigation in Children and Youth Services. So give us a call now, 1-800-795-9565. Fran, thank you for calling in. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning. This is a real pet peeve of mine, and I'm sure it is for everybody else. I don't know where to start, except it takes generations to weed out an abusive parent. Okay, so it's going to trickle down for generations until each individual parent decides that I'm not going to abuse like my mother did or abuse like my father did or anything like that. So it's generation of weeding it out. It's just not going to happen overnight. So we have to take steps, and we are our brother's keeper. You know, this is a village. It's a village. You see somebody at McDonald's, which I have, saw somebody haul off and slap their kid for no reason, I approached them. And maybe approaching them was probably the wrong thing to do, but I didn't know how I was going to report them because I didn't even know who they were. So I just said to them, you know, I'm sorry you had to hit your child to reprimand your child. Don't do it again. Your community's watching. And they are. And they should be. Pick up the phone. Call.
How did they react to that, Fran? How did they, the family react to what you said?
They were shocked. But the thing that if they hit their kid at McDonald's, what goes on in the home? Okay? So if you nip it in the bud and you say, your community is watching and we are all our brother's keeper, please don't hit your child. You know, there's other ways to discipline them. There's timeout. There's this and that. Even an infraction that I didn't think was anything less than a three-year-old just being a three-year-old. But I'm not that mother of that child, and I don't live 24/7 with that child. But she needs to step away from the anger, think about what she does. Because even a slap on the face, that's gone, but a word that hurts, that poor child carries the rest of their life. So we just really need to be vigilant about what comes out of our mouths, how we grab a hold of our child in a moment of anger, step away from it. No child died from crying, but a child died from an angry parent. And I just step away from it, put them in the crib, and step away from it.
But you're looking at a culture in this country where many people have been raised by spare the rod and spoil the child. And, you know, the mentality that corporal punishment is an accepted form of disciplining a youngster.
I had five children, and I had four of them in six years. I did not hit my children, but I wore out a timeout chair.
the legs wore out.
They did. And my kids, I put them in the foyer between the living room and the dining room, so they were antisocial. When their behavior was inappropriate, they were antisocial. And they'd have to sit in the foyer and stare at my kids called it the dead Zartmans on the wall, because it was a family reunion from 1917. But it's just, there are ways to discipline a child. Socialization, just put them in a timeout chair. As they get older, send them to their room. And don't leave the computer in the room and the television in the room and all that other stuff. It's just not discipline then, is it? And I have to, one more thing. It's the hardest job you'll ever have, is disciplining your children. Disciplining them well. It's so much work. And at the end of the day, you are so tired. But don't let it end there. Just be patient.
Well, maybe it's something in the approach you take with a child. You know, I can say that we've kept both of our grandsons in their early and formative years for 4 or 5 days a week. And, you know, we never had to go into corporal punishment or anything stronger than saying behave. But, you know, that's grandparents. Maybe parents have a different thing. They live with a 24/7, 365. And it can be trying.
They also have things like, you know, a lot of them are working, two people working in the household, and they're tired. They're tired. It's all I have is they're tired, and they're at that place in life where they're trying to pay their mortgage, you know, and they're paying their groceries, and they're paying an electric bill, a car payment, and they've got a lot more going on than we as grandparents do.
Yeah.
And I then there's the other thing, like, you know, as older and wiser, we choose our battles better, I believe.
Well, and we send the kids home at the end of the day, too. Grandparents.
Yeah, and I hope we send them home knowing that they are loved beyond measure and that they can have a grandparent in their life if they need them.
Fran, keep in touch. Thank you for this. Feel free to come up and talk to us in person about this important topic. We love to hear from you all the time. It's good to hear from you 2 days in a row. So thank you so much, Fran Zartman, checking in on this important topic. We will be back shortly. We have CBS News. Then we're going to check some local headlines, and we'll reopen the phones. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is here. Mr. Rob Centers, our fabulous producer. We had Mark Gittins on the news line earlier talking about the fact that child abuse still brought up and talked about issue here because we think something can be done. We think maybe there are people who know about abuse that's happening. We think agencies could be even more empowered to help fight it, and we as neighbors could do more. So this is a brought up topic, and so as Mark Gittins once said to us in an interview, our prayers have hands and feet. So he's hoping that the prayers that were offered up for Arabella Parker turn into action, that we can respond, and that we'll have some a real response to this, a tangible response that will help future children. So please stay tuned for that. We'll address this again in the weeks and days ahead, and we'll hear back from Mark as the future unfolds. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, and I want to tell you a lot about not the cars. The cars, they are fabulous. That's a stipulation. We know that to be true. I want to talk to you about some super family people. First, the Mertz family, we know that they are really a major part of our community, a true contributor, and just a fabulous group of individuals to know. But let's talk about Jason Benfer. He would like to put Joe in the perfect Lincoln Navigator. Joe has a vision what that vehicle is going to be like. I don't know what it is, but Jason and Joe will work it out.
It's got a big motor, and it uses gas.
Okay, and no hybrid, nothing like that, right?
No.
Okay, well, that's fine.
I want the real deal. I want power.
Jason will hook you up, and he'll make sure you got that trailer hitch, even though you don't own any trailers, but we're going to give you that hitch. Mickey Anselmo will make sure that an F-150's got just the perfect accoutrements for you. Jeff Clock and Mike DeFeo will make sure that if you need it, there is a new Ford Taurus or a Ford Ranger that's going to wrap around you perfectly. If it's a Kia of your dreams that you're thinking about, Ernie or Austin would be the right people to visit at the Sunbury Motor Company Kia dealership on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And that is just a short glimpse at the cast of wonderful characters that work at this Sunbury Motor Company. And there's over 150 of them, and they know vehicles. They're just just isn't anything you can ask, do, want, or desire as it relates to vehicles that they can't satisfy that need. Sunbury Motor Company, sunburymotors.com. Visit them on North 4th Street in Sunbury and at the Routes 11 and 15 location. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. We talked about the case of Arabella Parker. We heard from Mark Gittins. We'd love to hear from more folks that... one of our listeners on Facebook, somebody offered up thoughts and prayers, and somebody responded to it just saying, that is not enough. Kids die while we think and pray. And honestly, I think Mark Gittins saw that, and that may have even further annealed his resolve that action will come from this. So what's your thoughts on this case and our future? Well, future thoughts, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 702. In the news today, of course, Joe just got a text, so that's good news. Northumberland County coroner has been called to the scene of a house fire in Shamokin. According to Northumberland County Firewire, the fire first reported with entrapment around 6:30 a.m. That fire at 130 East Deward Street. Northumberland County Communications says no other injuries reported at that fire. A bill that would allow most, but very few around here, municipal police departments to use radar for speed enforcement has been advanced by the House Transportation Committee. Under the bill, the use of the radar for speed enforcement would only be limited to larger police departments with a full-time staff and a detective on board and full-time municipal coverage. 108th District State Representative Linda Schlegel-Culver says that is patently unfair.
We allow them to carry a gun, a taser, use smoke bombs, concussion devices, mobile recorders. We let them administer Narcan and use EpiPens, but for some reason, only some of them are going to be allowed to use radar, not all of them.
However, one of the sponsors of the legislation says it's his understanding to rural lawmakers with part-time police departments, and they did not want the bill to apply to their rural areas. So we're checking into that to see who might have said such a cockamamie statement.
We want their names.
We're going to get names out of that. Sunbury's mayor says the new police chief in the city of Sunbury is Brad Hare. He's been the officer in charge for over a year. He was a police chief for a time as well in the past, and now he is a police chief again in the city of Sunbury. So congrats to Brad Hare.
He'll do a great job.
Well, I agree with that. First Lady Melania Trump helped open the holiday season yesterday with Larry Snyder of the Mocantongo Valley of Northumberland County at her side.
I'm very honored to represent all the tree growers of America in providing this tree. It has extremely good shape and color.
That's the owner, Larry Snyder of Mocantongo Valley Farms from Pittman, PA. When we went to interview him earlier this month, members of the U.S. Marine Band played as Melania Trump accepted that tree. And finally, if you know a state lawmaker, congratulate them. They are worth more today than they were yesterday. They, the lawmakers, judges, and top executive branch officials are getting a salary increase. So if you think they've done a fabulous job, let them know that they deserve this raise in 2020. Just 1.9%, but of course, for many exceedingly high overpaid lawmakers and judges and governors and so on, that will be a big difference. The governor's salary will now go above $200,000. Rank and file lawmakers start at $90,000. Let's see, 1.9%, I mentioned that. Supreme Court Justice Tom Saylor will get a $4,000 raise to about $221,000. Governor Wolf's salary will then be $201,000. You get the idea.
You should mention he's the chairman or the chief justice of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. The other justices get a few bucks less. I think around $4,000 less.
Okay. Well, they're all morbidly, grotesquely, and hideously overpaid.
I believe
overpaid.
They're all members of the Bar Association, too.
Well, I think there's a connection there. And Bar Association people are most of the lawmakers.
That's true.
All right. 2 + 2 = 107 in this case. All right. 1-800-795-9565. We invite folks to call in. We are enjoying open phones. We talked to Mark Gittins earlier today. Mary's been waiting through the headlines. Good morning, Mary. Thank you for waiting. Thank you for calling in. You are on the mark.
Hi, Mark and Joe. Thanks for having me. I loved hearing Mark Gittins today. He was great. He's done so much for the community. And I just wanted to add that there's all kinds of programs that we have in, you know, Snyder Union, Mifflin, Northumberland County to help parents. One of them, a new one, is called Healthy Families America in Northumberland County. And it really just provides, people can go into your home and they can talk to you about what the baby needs, what the children need, and monitor the baby's brain development. You know, 90% of the brain is formed by the age of 5. So it's real important, and Mark Gittins made a great point that we need to get these kids before they're 5 years old, before they're in school, and kind of have eyes on them.
Well, and honestly, just the fact that the kid becomes the center of attention, good care becomes an obsession rather than just the kid's this little peripheral add-on that nobody really cares about and that it isn't the center of anybody's attention. You know, and some of the agencies that you're talking about that are interested in providing this, and of course school districts are interested in having super kids delivered to their doorstep, you know, come kindergarten time. It is a brought up, talked about issue, but as Mark said, there's always more we can do, and so we appreciate that.
Yeah, right. And also, I mean, traditionally, you know, there was a big community, a big family group, you know, aunts, uncles, cousins, you know, and that's not really happening so much anymore. So we need to sort of build a community amongst ourselves. And I thought he made a really good point that we're all responsible for the children.
Well, we should be.
Yep, and United Way has a great program, Parents as Teachers. You can call them or Summit Early Learning, 570-988-2845. Parents can call them. There's all kinds of programs that are available, and some are underutilized, which is a shame.
Okay, good points. Thank you, Mary.
Yeah,
appreciate your call.
Yeah, thank you, Mary. Mary Bannon, of course,
yeah,
we know is a Selinsgrove Grove School Board member and very active in our community. Thank you for the information.
You.
And keep in touch also
yeah.
as you hear more.
Thanks, Mark and Joe.
Take care.
Thanks for doing this program.
Well, you're welcome.
Awesome.
Our pleasure.
Mary
Thanks.
Bannon, one of the school board members in Selinsgrove Grove, checking in. We're talking about the child abuse case that was the Arabella case, is the Arabella case, and many people say in the future they're going to do more. Whatever they have been doing, they'll do more. Whatever can be done, we'll see if that we'll see if that starts in Harrisburg. But as Fran said, the caller, our village is in charge of our kids.
Well, we've got some interesting news after we take a break.
Yeah, why don't we do that? I mean, this is a perfect
pivot
point.
On the impeachment issue, and there's lots happening, and we'll cover it.
All right. And we're enjoying an open day, the topic of your selection. Joe's got impeachment in front of him. We're wrapping up the segment where we were talking about our good call from Mark Gittins. And call us now if you'd like to weigh in on the topic of your choice, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Mr. Matt Cotrillo tells us he's just posted at WKOK.com. A story is developing out of Washington, D.C. The White House and the Capitol are on lockdown. The Capitol building itself being evacuated. So we'll take because of a threat that has not led to any harm at this time, but a bona fide threat that they are concerned about. So we will keep a very, very close eye on that.
So the White White House is on lockdown in response to the threat against the Capitol?
Not sure. I think it's a broad threat for everybody at this point.
Oh, okay.
There. Yeah. So CBS News and AP are reporting just those sentences I report, that the White House is on lockdown, Capitol is being evacuated, and it's because of a threat that exists in Washington, D.C. right now. Further details about which we don't have, but we certainly will shortly. There's 962,000 reporters in Washington, D.C., so we should know more soon.
Sorry there's a threat, but evacuating Washington wouldn't be the worst thing that ever happened
to
the country.
The Capitol building, the Congress and Senate regions.
Okay. Well, that wouldn't be the worst thing that ever happened either.
Yeah. No action from them. That wouldn't hurt anything.
But anyway, the president was on complaining about Nancy Pelosi and not moving the North American, or the, what is that,
USMCA.
USMCA. You don't pronounce that. USMCA.
Nope, it doesn't have
the USMCA
an easy one.
Said that she's incapable of doing it, that she is going to let it sit on her desk, that she can't get enough support to move anything forward.
Hmm.
But anyhow, there is news on the impeachment front, but we still have a call based on child abuse, and John from Mifflinburg is on the line. John, you're on the mark.
Hey, good morning. I was looking, doing a quick search in the... There's a report done in September 2017 by Eugene DePasquo. It's called State of the Child. It's a look at the strengths and challenges of Pennsylvania's child welfare system and the safety of at-risk children. So in true DePasquo form, it's what I can see of it, it's very comprehensive. And just in scanning it, it seems to point out a few glaring fault in the system, and that is in the children and youth system, the for example, the paperwork requirements of caseworkers, up to 67% of their time is utilized doing paperwork. So a recommendation he has is that people can streamline that so they spend more time in the field. Starting salaries are like $29,000 for a caseworker for children and youth. That seems obviously to be a deficit. And then as people go up in caseworker in the civil service world, there are higher paying jobs in probation and parole, et cetera. So children and youth seem to lose caseworkers as they get more experience. The turnover rates in certain counties are up to like 40% of caseworkers saw on a table in there. So it seems to me that, you know, fundamental to safety of children is to properly fund the agency charged with doing exactly that, protecting them. Of course, it's not the only thing that protects children, but it's an important, perhaps the most important component, because I think through children and youth, children are put in foster care, then you have some leverage over the parents, you can get them into therapy, substance abuse treatment, etc. And, of course, safeguard the children. And that we don't properly pay or look after the caseworkers, I think it's a terrible thing. I think that, you know, it takes more money and then you have to raise taxes or, you know, and of course we can't do that, but we're all wringing our hands about the children, you know. So I think it's time, if you read DePasquale's report, it seems pretty clear that our attention to this important agency is deficit, and we should correct it.
Well, and I do recall that report, and it was to turn into some action suggestions that the State House and Senate could take up. Now, I haven't heard about it anything since, so I hope they took it seriously and they are reacting. Yes, the Children and Youth Services and other child servicing agencies, you know, if they do the right thing, they get zero credit. We don't call attention to them. If they do the wrong thing, they're perennially blamed, and you know, it's an impossible job. And, of course, as you said, they're completely understaffed and underpaid. And so it's hard to attract people that can really keep the job going. But
We typically react. We don't act. And I think that's Pastor Gittin's issue, that we should be more proactive rather than reactive when it comes to child care and to making sure the kids are not abused.
Yeah, anytime. Just perhaps the director of children and youth would be willing to be interviewed. They might have some, you know, some say about you know, the state of affairs since this report, certainly in September of 2017.
All right. Well, we'll do. We'll give her a buzz, and we'll be in touch with the state auditor general. We've invited him on the show in the past. We'll reissue that invite. Thank you so much, John. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. Thanks.
Take care.
1-800-795-9565, the open line. We started to talk about impeachment. Read that first
this
paragraph
Michigan
again.
Here's it. The rats are leaving the sinking ship, apparently. Michigan Democratic Rep. Brenda Lawrence, a prominent supporter of Kamala Harris, who has previously supported the impeachment inquiry into President Trump, abruptly announced that she no longer saw any value in the process and called for her fellow Democrats to throw their support behind a symbolic censure resolution. Lawrence's about-face came as polls have shown that independents are souring on the idea of impeaching and removing Trump from office, including in critical background states or battleground states like Wisconsin, even as House Democrats aggressively presented their poll-tested bribery case against the president over the past 2 weeks. "We are so close to an election," Lawrence said on a Michigan radio program, noting that Trump stands little chance of being convicted by the GOP-controlled Senate. She said, "I will tell you, sitting here knowing how divided this country is, I don't see the value of taking him out of office. But I do see the value of putting down a marker saying his behavior is not acceptable. It's in violation of the oath of office of a president of the United States, and we have to be clear that you cannot use your power of the presidency to withhold funds to get a foreign country to investigate an American citizen for your own personal gain. There's no way around that." Lawrence continued, "I want him censured. I want it on the record that the House of Representatives did their job, and they told this president that any president coming behind him, that it is unacceptable behavior, and under our Constitution, we will not allow it. I am a Democrat, but I am an independent United States of America citizen." There's a representative with some intelligence.
Well, it's too bad she doesn't see the obvious, but that's all right. She had the opportunity at Washington. And I think it is it does depend on your opinion, you know, your sensitivities, your sensibilities, you know, how much quid pro quo do you see in this? Some people see a lot and say, you know, it's obvious that he was trying to impact the election, much the same way the Russians impacted the 2016 election. Other people say, well, yeah, these are definitely ethical lapses, but that's what we expect from President Trump, that he will say what he wants to do and do what he wants to do. Not all of it is right or proper or just.
But you've said yourself you don't think what he did was impeachable.
No, I don't. And so I think, you know, her observation is spot on. It depends on your opinion. And her opinion is that it doesn't add up. And plus, at what cost? You know, she's running for office. If she's not running right now, she will be next year, in which case she has to be able to turn to voters and say, this was money well spent. You know, putting an asterisk on the president's resume as he headed into re-election, this idea of the impeachment. Of course, the Senate's not going to convict. Even if there were incontrovertible evidence, they probably wouldn't convict.
Well, even Schiff over the weekend, over the weekend seemed to be backpedaling, saying he had to go home and talk to his constituents.
I saw him on Meet the Press. He said the evidence is overwhelming.
But he said he had to go back and talk to his constituents about whether or not the president should be impeached.
Not whether or not. Maybe about the impeachment, but not whether or not
think he's getting cold feet.
I don't think so. Well, whatever. Okay, that's fine. We'll stipulate that he is so we can move on. I don't know his thoughts either. Do you?
I think what they're looking at now, you know, and the fact that polling among independents is going the opposite direction for them, even though CNN issued its own poll today saying that the numbers were unchanged from a month ago, that 50% of the American people still favor impeaching and removing President Trump from office. I don't believe that. I don't believe that number has gone or stayed steady. I believe it has gone down.
Well, and I think any time you have to decide if you're doing an impeachment inquiry, then you know that maybe there's not enough there. You know, when President Clinton's impeachment inquiry began, that whole process, it was obvious that he had lied to a grand jury. And likewise with President Nixon, it was obvious that he had broken U.S. laws. And so, but I don't know. President Trump, I just expect him to behave unethically, and guess what? He's lived
he
up to form.
He hasn't disappointed you, has
right,
he?
Exactly. And that's, you know, and half the voters in the country see absolutely nothing wrong with them, with that, and good for them. He's their president. He's my president, too, and I don't agree with it. I didn't vote for him the first time, wouldn't vote for him again. And that's my view. All right, we'll take more.
You call him a buffoon from time to time, too.
Well, he brings that on himself. Even you could agree with that.
No, I don't believe the man is a buffoon.
Ever? Nothing?
I believe he does some things that are ill-considered and foolish, but that doesn't mean he's a buffoon. A buffoon implies someone incapable of doing anything useful.
Wikipedia. Wikipedia says buffoon is ill-conceived and ill-considered. It's very strikingly, remarkably close to, you're just not using the B word. So
I think, well, the definition may be similar to what I said, but it's still a much more aggressive word and a more demeaning word.
All right. Matt Catrillo says, as per the White House lockdown and the Capitol evacuation, CBS is reporting there's an aircraft inside restricted airspace nearby. He says the White House and Capitol were put on temporary lockdown following that airspace violation. Fighter jets were mobilized. There were some individuals outside the White House working on the North Lawn. That area was cleared. It began shortly after 9 a.m., and the lockdown at the White House was lifted 20 minutes later, and the all clear has sounded. So that's the very latest from Washington, D.C. on that. So we appreciate there. Matt's just a tweeting fool. In the newsroom.
Well, we got two calls pending.
All right,
online.
1-800-795-9565. Bill, you have the floor. Thanks for calling in. You're on the mark.
Yeah. Good morning, gentlemen. In regards to the statement is that Joe just read as far as some of the Democrats seeing the light on the impeachment and weighing to the other side, here's the only reason why they're doing that. Okay. Trump's out raising these Democrats in some areas 4-1, if not higher, and this Democrat they're coming up for re-election. So what Trump's doing is he's taking their statements and their stand on this impeachment and how silly it was, and he's using it for political ads. Now these coming up for re-election are scared. They're not seeing the light. They're on board with all the crookedness. It's just now they're scared that they're going to lose their post. So now they're trying to, for their voters, they're trying to play both sides so they could be reelected. That's the only reason why these Democrats appear to see the light, but they really don't see the light. All they're worried about is getting back in office, and because they're being Trump's out. Outraising him in the money, he's it's like 4-1, if not higher, and as far as his political ads, he's going to pound them all, and that's the only reason why.
There you go, Joe. Yeah. You agree with that?
I think that money has something to do with it. Yes, I believe they're more worried about whether or not they get reelected. And I'm not saying that's just Democrats. I think that's across the board. I mean, reelection is the key down there, isn't it? That's what everybody's concerned about. And if they think they've got a better chance, if they support impeachment, they'll support it. If they think they have a better chance, if they oppose it, they'll oppose it. I don't know how much real conviction is involved here on anybody's part.
Well, they're worried. The Democrats that are going to be coming up for re-election are worrying about this impeachment, which shifty shift and all this is going to backfire to their constituents and whatnot. Now they're on the bubble. Like, hey, I got to worry about myself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I can't jump on board with this craziness because the top 1% is going to end up in jail. I got to worry about what I'm running around here, and I got to stay in office.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Well, and you just don't know how this will play out. You may run into somebody who says, oh, no, this will be in the president's favor. He'll be viewed as a victim of a strictly political impeachment, which he didn't deserve. And other people say, well, no, he's finally been caught doing something that was genuinely illegal. That is, leveraging U.S. aid for something that would benefit his campaign. And so they're fully convinced. But whomever says that one of those outcomes will get the majority of the votes. You know, they're just speculating. We don't know what the outcome will be. We don't know how it will impact the elections next year. But shifty Schiff, to use your word, he says he's proceeding. The evidence is overwhelming, and he's moving on. So any stragglers...
Yeah, he got naked pictures. Vladimir said of naked pictures. That's what we...
Okay.
Remember that quote?
Okay.
When he got played.
No. All right, but we got you, Bill. Thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it. Frank, thanks for waiting. You're on the mark.
Yeah. I watched a piece this morning, CNN, after I got done with my Trump therapy session. I found this fascinating. Anthony Scaramucci, the Mooch guy, the guy that served Trump for 11 days or so. They talked about the subject of what is it that the evangelical community had said that Donald Trump is the chosen one, and that Rick Perry, their relationship that had been tarnished, and they slammed back and forth the comments, the tweets. If you get a chance, pull up CNN, if you can just isolate that part. Anthony defines how the evangelical community looks at Donald Trump and his base, that they do believe that he has, that God can use a sinner, and that through, and these are Scaramucci's words, that Trump will find redemption through the presidency. They forgive him for his past sins, and his future leadership will prove that he's been forgiven. It was the strangest, weirdest, full circle definition of why Donald Trump would actually probably feel that he is the chosen one. And it feeds right to the base of the evangelicals that are in the Southern Baptist realm. The other interesting thing is that Paula White, the failed or fallen evangelical about the prosperity gospel, has become Donald Trump's personal spiritual aide. It's an interesting connecting the dots, but there's such a psyche and mental purpose that they feel that he is in the office of presidency for, and these are Anthony's own words, is to, you know, play up to the base. Once Donald Trump is reelected, then it's going to go another position, another dimension. But watch the piece, and you really are going to be, and Anthony, who did serve with the president, he's a practicing Roman Catholic, and he was very careful not to condemn anyone's faith. But that's what the aura of that White House, he says, thinks of him as the chosen one. And deep piece. They talk about the racism, Stephen Miller, people that have released pretty much very racist statements, and Anthony said how he would address it if he was still in the office serving the president. It's a very good piece.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And the takeaway. All right. Well, we'll look it up. Well, thank you, Frank. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for the info. Joe, you want to read that email before we hit the break?
It says, giving Trump a simple slap on the wrist and letting him remain in office is just plain stupid. Giving him a pass only gives him more opportunities to ignore what's right and will only enable him to break more laws to benefit him. He is not qualified to be president and is a total embarrassment to America. And yes, Joe, he is a total buffoon.
Well, there you have it. You're going to have to look up buffoon and see what the definition is.
Well, you did.
Yeah, but that was the Wikipedia. I'll look it up in Webster's.
Well, you know, I don't think we gain anything by name calling. I don't think the president gains anything by doing it.
Oh, yeah, we do. Let's do it. A buffoon is a person who has an excessive interest in or admiration of themselves. They think the world revolves around them.
That's a narcissist, isn't it?
Very similar, yes. It can be a disorder. Yeah, maybe there's become a blendification of the two definitions. Okay, we will take a quickie break. We would invite callers to check in on this topic. We are talking about the impeachment. We have one U.S. Congresswoman that is no longer in favor of impeachment, and she's a Democrat.
Representative Brenda Lawrence, yes.
Right, and we have Mr. Schiff has been in numerous interviews where he said he's proceeding, getting ready with the articles of impeachment. Fortunately, he is a wonderful patriot. We're lucky to have him in charge of this. And the country benefits from this.
Speaking of buffoons.
So we appreciate his service.
Speaking of buffoons.
What's that?
Oh, that's Shifty Schiff.
Come on.
He's a buffoon.
No. I thought you didn't like name calling. Did you not?
Well, you said to keep on going with it. You suggested I continue to call people names.
All right. Did I suggest that? Or did I think you picked that up
No,
on
you
your
said
own.
Let's do it.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. No more name calling. From now on, we're going to talk about factual items, things we know for sure, and no
Some
derogatory
people believe
names.
For sure that Trump is a buffoon. Yeah. I disagree with them.
1-800-795-9565 is the open phone. We talked about child abuse earlier today and the action items that folks have on their agenda in the weeks and months and years ahead. We also have talked about President Trump. We also talked about the White House being on lockdown and the Capitol being evacuated. All that's been rescinded. The threat is clear. We do have some texts that were sent to the WKOK Text Connect system. Those are individuals that recently texted 70236. You can sign up for WKOK Text Connect. It's our way to reach out to you when there's breaking local or national news. We would send you important information about what's going on in the world that you need to know right away. Closed major roads around here or weather warnings, dead celebrities, tornadic weather, you name it. We use the Text Connect system to send you a quickie message, and then you follow the link, and that takes you to our website, which has more information there. So sign up for Text Connect at WKOK.com, where it says to connect with us. Text Connect is right under that. So we would just love to hear from you in that way. You're listening to News Radio 1070, WKOK Sunbury. This is On the Mark, WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, 1-800-795-9565. Welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, on the topic of impeachment, we did get some text messages.
Yes, one of our texters says, good morning. Yes, Trump was the chosen one, as all presidents are chosen. He is now the chosen one to get impeached. Another says, I, as a Democrat, do not care if Trump is reelected. I only care that Democrats get the House and Senate.
Wait, is that an ideal viewpoint to be to so beholden to party that you only want Democrats to get in?
And then regarding our issue earlier about children, one of our texters says, I believe anyone getting financial aid from the county or state needs to repay any money and help given to them if they harm their children. I think they ought to have more than that happen to them.
Thanks, Bob. Well, yeah, they'll be in trouble. We have state lawmakers who are already morbidly and grotesquely overpaid are going to be getting more raises. We mentioned this in 2020, 1.9% raises. But keep in mind that they're already overpaid, so that's rank-and-file lawmakers. So this would be the David Rose of the world would get $90,000 salary. The governor, $201,000. The state Supreme Court Justice Tom Saylor will get Chief Justice will get $221,000. The rest of the
He's getting right now $218,000.
Right, he's already
$217,000.
Right, he's already overpaid. Seven members of the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania will get $215,000 salary
each.
Not to split, if that's what you're thinking.
No, but I was thinking of the implications. Seven guys getting $215,000.
They split it.
That's
up.
A fair amount of money.
$30,000 each if they split it up. All right, lawmakers.
That would be fair, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be more like it. That's what they should get. Lawmakers and leadership posts will top out at $141,000 for the House Speaker Mike Turzai of Allegheny County and the Senate President Pro Tem Joe Scarnati of Jefferson County. The four caucus floor leaders in the House and the Senate will each make $130,900, while the four caucus whips and the four appropriation committee chairs will each receive $121,100. So there you have it. There's John Gordner's salary, $121,100, since he is a Republican whip in the Senate.
Well, then you might should mention the county court judges will see increases to about $186,700, while judges in larger districts such as Philadelphia and Allegheny County will get slightly more. The salary for Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman will surpass $169,400, while the three statewide elected row officers, Attorney General Josh Shapiro, Treasurer Joe Torsella, and Auditor General Eugene DePasquale, will each make a little more than $167,000. $800. The salaries for the heads of Wolf's 18 cabinet agencies will rise by law, topping out at almost $161,400 for leaders of the larger departments.
It seems that what they did was they took what's an appropriate salary for these offices and just doubled it. I mean, all of them are literally twice as high as they should be.
But you're missing the point that they're only getting a 1.9% raise in salary increase.
Right, but as the point I made, which you apparently had the beans in at that time, they are already morbidly and grotesquely overpaid. They're each are already earning double what they're worth and double what they should be getting, and instead we give them another raise for inflation. Well, a lot of companies don't hand out raises for inflation. They should be made to suffer like the rest of us.
I think the numbers argument is a good one, that we have too many of the House members and Senate members.
Oh, and guess what?
And there was a bill to try and cut that down. Didn't go anywhere.
But yeah, they agreed that they didn't want fewer of themselves.
Okay.
Yeah, isn't that something? That was a big surprise. Yeah,
I think something like that, there should be a mechanism to put that on the ballot, completely bypassing them so that the rest of us can have a say in it.
Oh, but the legislature set up the system so that we can't access ballots. Yeah, sorry, buddy. Good idea, but they thought of you a long time ago and made sure that you'd never be able to do that. No, their goal, their remark, if a lawmaker was here, would say, well, we have a referendum every 2 years. You can vote us out if we're in
any... No, but we can't reduce the size of the legislature every 2 years.
Oh, well, that's true, yeah. But if you get one, if you want to put, 100 and some legislators in.
Unlike you, I believe the majority of our state legislators are competent, able people who earn the salary they're paid. I just happen to think there's too many of them.
And they're paid twice as much as they should be.
That's your opinion.
Dale, you're on the mark.
Yeah, you guys are talking about the brain surgeons and their salaries.
Most of whom are members of the Bar Association, Dale. You know that, right?
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to say, it comes down to it. They're all, government's subsidized jobs. And I think it should be $950 what they were talking about, right? I mean, and they're already making side deals. So, I mean, I think $950 is a reasonable, whatever they, offer the public. I mean,
you mean $950 an hour is what lawmakers should make?
Yeah, ain't that what they just agreed on?
Yeah, minimum wage will go up in a big hurry if lawmakers
aren't. But ain't they subsidized government workers? So why wouldn't they, get paid what they're selling? They're selling one product and they're accepting another product.
Dale, they're not subsidized. They are wholly funded by taxpayer dollars. They're not subsidized by them. Wholly paid.
Oh, so that money is borrowed money from our children to pay them, right?
Well, no, it's out of your taxes. I mean, yes, it could be put to some other use, but that's...
Okay, so say if someone's making $950 an hour, and I guess what? They don't pay their taxes. Then what do they call it? Garnish? They garnish their wages because they can't pay their taxes. It's a little ridiculous, but I don't know. I can't blame the people for that. I really can't because they lost total power. Voting is out the window anymore. Like I said, we basically just sit back and watch the show and maybe understand that, everything goes silent on them. I think maybe they'll get the hint. I don't know. It's crazy.
It's a pickle.
It's just the size, like you said, the size. I don't mind, they get those big raises, but if they have the ability to work better and more efficient, and cut the size of bureaucracy, then they can get paid that. But if they're making it larger, they have to share their chips. I mean, they're making it larger and they're pushing the burden on the taxpayer. So maybe they should take a pay cut if they're making it larger.
I agree.
Well, the pie doesn't get much bigger, so it's a question of who gets the biggest piece.
Pies, or pies that are being created from our grandkids and stuff like that.
Yeah, the pies wasn't big enough, so they went to our kids' pie.
When are we ever, the taxpayer, going to sit down at the table with these jokers?
Never.
I don't even know. Huh?
Never.
Never?
Nope.
I mean, really, it's an unfair
Nobody's
game.
As mad as
really?
You are.
Yeah, but I mean, I just think we need to cut the size. I mean, Joe's right on that part. But
yeah,
I mean,
and that's about it.
You don't get rewarded for not doing, what the taxpayer you know, taxpayers are asking for smaller, more efficient, and you're making it bigger and more inefficient. So I don't think you deserve it.
All right, you're at 3 minutes, Dale. Thank you very much for calling in. Appreciate it. Bobby D., you're next up in the line. You're the last caller before a quickie break. Go right ahead.
Mark, when it comes to, being educated around children and child abuse and that, of course, I was fortunate to have a mother and two sisters that were nurses and taught me a lot of things about children. But when it comes to, taking care of children, I think more emphasis, should be on, not necessarily like how to raise a family and that, but how to deal with children, because so many parents get frustrated. And I know, in my job as a lifeguard, I've, run into that from time to time. But there are different ways to deal with them. And once that child understands things, so I think it's more of to prevention for an educational process.
All right, perfect. Yeah, well said. Parenting classes in school might work. Thank you so much for calling in, Bobby. We'll be right back. We got another caller standing by.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Joe, thank you. Oh, here we go. Why don't I pick up an actual line that's ringing? Go ahead, Joe. You're on the mark.
Okay. Concerning the comment and the CNN report about the chosen one, I'm going to read from Romans 13:1 that might shine some light on it. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, period. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. And there's a lot more. I'm not going to read the whole Bible, and people can call in and say that's out of context. That's fine. But we obviously don't have that much time. So Trump was not chosen as the chosen one as Messiah. I hope nobody's thinking that, because he's chosen to be president at this time, the same as Obama was chosen to be president at that time. But as though the Republicans, and at the time Obama got elected, and now I don't know how long it was after, maybe a couple years, said he would be a one-term president, they were going to use the vote, the will of the people, to oust President Obama. And if I remember correctly, the Republicans, or nobody, was even allowed to utter the word impeachment during Obama. They had to say the I word on TV, and it was kind of comical. But the framers didn't want a president to be impeached over moderate or minor things, or that the other party didn't like his ideas or didn't like him personally. That is clear through the other writings of the framers. You know, I mean, there is a small part in there about impeachment. You know, it's very concise, but bribery, maybe we all know, that wasn't even in a legal term back then. I mean, not like we know, like you'd be arrested for bribery today. That wasn't in the laws back then. So it was a different type of word.
Okay.
Good point. Yep, that means we're out of time.
All right, well, thanks for calling in. Yeah, appreciate the history lesson and the civics lesson. Thank you, Joe, for calling in. Thank you, Joe, for coming in. I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll be here.
We're going to hear from Professor Alexander Riley of Bucknell University about another place where students have very little tolerance for a wide diversity of viewpoints. We'll be talking about that tomorrow. This is WKOK Sunbury.